Here we are back for another episode of the Christopher Scott Show. Been a bit of a recording frenzy, it seems like. One podcast after another. Got this video thing down. I took a little break. I told you I'd dial back, and I have a swipe file, basically. And the ideas don't stop coming. You guys email me. I come across stuff. It's amazing the stuff that gets sent to me. It all gets dumped in that swipe file. And every once in a while, I got to go in there and I'm like, we got a log jam here. And when that happens, I have a couple of different options. I could just clear it out and say, you know what, we're gonna skip over this, or I'll archive it or bookmark it for maybe to come back to. But in this case, I was like, we need to catch up. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. And I'm glad we did. I wanted to get the video thing straightened out. I'm pretty happy with the results we're getting here, you know? I mean, I'm no elder. You know, I think I mentioned this not too long ago, the big line that you got a face for radio. Yeah, well, you know, I'm in video too. Thanks for that vote of confidence, you know? I think I look all right. I don't know. I could clean up a little. The white hair in my beard, you know? I'm getting older. What do you want me to do? But, you know, the touch-ups do nicely for my complexion, I guess. I still got all my teeth, at least that you can see. I guess I'm looking okay. What do you want me to say? I'm no Elvis. What would it be if I was? I don't know. Anyway, the videos look good. That's what I was trying to say. My daughter's happy with them. If my daughter's happy with them, we're good to go. We've got this great slideshow in the background. The Rumble account, it's gaining a little traction. I saw the one video had over 100 views. Believe it or not, it's something in this genre at this time. And I think there will be more to that, more coming on these others. We've got a little shtick here, and I think there's going to be more to come on all that. I really do. But anyway, the videos are good. And the point about all this, once I nailed it down, and I spent so much time getting this worked out and getting it all worked out, it just took a lot more than I thought. And anyway, it got things a little backed up, among other things. And once I got that log jam cleared up, I was like, let's get this thing unjammed. And I just have a lot to talk about. So anyway, a couple days ago now, a week ago, remember the whole bloodbath story? The liberal media, the dirty Democrats came out and accused Trump of calling for violence if he's not reelected. He said there's going to be a bloodbath if he's not reelected. And, you know, while technically true, you know, practically speaking, a complete lie, he was obviously speaking about finances. And then I heard others playing clips of the same liberal media constantly using the term bloodbath, bloodbath, bloodbath. And we have had such a dissertation in the term bloodbath here in the past week. It's really been amazing. I don't really want to go back through all that. All that to say, I'm sorry to waste your time, that the bloodbath continues. That's all I wanted to tell you. Meet the group threatening your freedom you never heard of. Fantastic. Supreme Court hears landmark jawboning case. This has to do with the social media. Intelligence community propaganda machines drive bloodbath narrative. Supreme Court likely to reject limits on White House social media contacts. We saw this coming. Catastrophic levels of hunger in Gaza. Who cares? I don't know what happened to the whole Gaza move. Everybody was afraid there was going to be a Muslim takeover right here in the United States over this, and the whole thing just seems to have fizzled out, really. Cubans take to the streets saying that they're hungry. Elon Musk posting about the border chaos. Open defiance with the regime. How bold of him. Another billionaire that risks getting his assets confiscated if he keeps it up. Jesse Waters has an explanation for progressive extremism. We'll get into that. A judge rules that Reddit and YouTube must face lawsuits that they enabled Buffalo grocery mass shooter. This is fascinating that they're going to cast blame. Remember the guy who went in there, and a white guy, I think, went into a store mostly with black people and started shooting it up? Well, there's a lawsuit about it, and they're going to sue YouTube. And who else did I say there? Where did it go? My mouse is jumping around here. Reddit and YouTube. So another a government attack on private business. I don't know. I don't know the details to take a side in it. I just know that it's not good. RFK Jr. Excluded from the Kennedy family photo. This is unbelievable. Over politics. Trudeau wants to make hate crime words a life sentence. There's no free speech in Canada, as best I can tell. Burger King being sued for $15 million by a local resident in New York City, claiming that they allow an open-air drug bazaar. Some heads are going to roll over that. How is that happening in a Burger King store? And they're going to pay, I believe. We'll see. We may never know. Authoritarian regimes use tech to hurt democracy, according to Anthony Blinken. In other words, the best thing for democracy is technology. The Hertz CEO resigns after blowing a big gamble on EVs. This is unbelievable. I got a few things to tell you about that story. Canada's incorporating social scores into its banking system. What could go wrong there? You know, you're drinking a little too much, Phil. We're going to cut back your interest rate. Or what? What does it mean? What it means social scores into banking. How does a criminal get a bank account then? This is unreal to me, really. Tennessee state senator calls for riots. Oh, wait till we get into that story. We'll see if we have time. We're 6 minutes in. I try to keep it at 30. It leaves us 24. Let's talk about this group threatening our freedom you never heard of. The Uniform Law Commission says here, according to The Federalist, which is a conservative blog, that the Uniform Law Commission has become increasingly more radical, regularly pushing policymakers to adopt legislation that undermines the rights of individuals. If you were to ask your 20 closest friends, they say nobody would know what this organization is. It's very true. But if you were to ask your state lawmakers, they would all know who this group is. The purpose of the Uniform Commercial Code is to ensure that commercial and financial activities are regulated as similarly as possible throughout the United States. Without the UCC, conducting businesses in multiple states would be extremely difficult and costly. I say, take it down. Because the Uniform Commercial Code is so complicated, legislators have trouble understanding and altering it. Great. What could go wrong? So they depend on the Uniform Law Commission, which is mostly composed of, you guessed it, lawyers and academics. Great, what could go wrong? As well as their partner organizations to help them. As a result, the ULC has become so important to state lawmakers that it receives much of its funding from state appropriations. That means that the taxpayers are footing the bill. For much of the 20th century, the ULC played an important, nonpartisan, uncontroversial role in helping states adopt uniform laws. But like everything else, it's being politicized. And that's the end of the story. Take, for example, the disturbing model bill that titled the Public Health Emergency Authority Act. The ULC drafted and formally approved in 2023 and is now asking legislators to pass into law. In the event that a public health emergency breaks out in the future, this would effectively turn governors across the country into all-powerful quasi-dictators. This is crazy, and there needs to be a much better accountability. We spent enough time on this, and it's not an exciting enough topic to talk about for a long time, but this is the way things are done. You know, it's the same thing like with building codes and zoning codes. There's always a group that's behind it, and I've said this for many years, like with the building codes. You know, they put together the Uniform Code Commission or whatever it is to create the building codes. And it was great. They created the building code, you know, bring back a couple of years later, reassess it, see if there's any updates. The problem is they never sent these people home. They created a business out of it. And then they're updating it every 3 years and making changes. And I have to ask myself, why? Why do we have to keep making all these changes? Maybe a little change here and there because now you got a new kind of heat pump or, you know, we found out that wells in these situations are blah, 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 blah. But they never send these people home. And all they do is continue to make more rules, 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 rules. You go back and look 100 years ago, which isn't that long, and you'd have a building code book to build a house that was like a pamphlet. And now it's like a 3-inch book The IRC, it's called. I gotta believe it's the same thing with this. So opt out, run for office in Pennsylvania and say, you know what? We're going to opt out of the Uniform Commercial Code. What kind of chaos do you think that would create? That would be the answer, really, to bringing under control. That's how things work politically. You know, they call you a loony. Yeah, we're gonna opt out of the Uniform Commercial Code as a way to bring balance. It's going to change everything. It's going to disrupt the whole country. One state opting out, Pennsylvania. You could pull major, if you could run on that platform and get into office and start convincing people that it's a real idea, you could really get a lot of political clout out of that. I don't know how I just went on for that so long, but it really is a fascinating story. Supreme Court hears a landmark case, debate whether politicians engage in censorship when they demand that social media posts be taken down after the Biden administration was accused of suppressing COVID posts that didn't like. I guess the Supreme Court is hearing this particular case, and I don't think we know much about the status of it, where it's going, or what the outcome might be. To me, it seems pretty cut and dry. Why is it, can the politicians do the same thing with the newspapers? Or has that already been going on that we don't know about it? Maybe it has, right? Intelligence community propaganda machine drives bloodbath narrative towards planned disaster. This is according to Red Voice Media, another conservative blog. The massive intelligence community propaganda system that would make Joseph Goebbels blush with envy has done precisely what it projected to do, explode in its designs to drive the Trump bloodbath narrative. Basically, what they're saying here is law enforcement, if you will, has said, hey, you know, this bloodbath narrative and all this rhetoric, and there are people, ooh, there's a threat. We're hearing threats. We should work more overtime. We should add security. Yeah, there's always going to be people saying that. One of them is me, even if I don't agree with where it's coming from, because I think the threat is completely different than what they're saying. So you look at these threats, and naturally you should probably increase security as a result. I'm going to say that's a pretty natural thing to do. Now, this is story. Is this the same case? Supreme Court seemed prepared Monday to reject a Republican-led effort to sharply limit the federal government for pressuring social media. I don't know if there was a ruling on this. I don't know if we've heard yet. We'll see. In other words, they're not going to rule on it, or if they do, it's going to be some watered-down ruling. So I say to you, was the government allowed to do this with newspapers? Have we been fooled all this time? We didn't know until it was happening openly to people like me being censored. And you say, oh, now I understand what's going on. How is this not an issue for the Supreme Court? I really don't know. Catastrophic levels of hunger in Gaza mean famine is imminent. So you now have a situation where I guess it's saying that 1.1 million people are at some level of risk for starving to death. And you see this photograph here. They have their pots and bowls out like animals, really, trying to get anything they can. These people are poor to begin with. I know there's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of animosity. Is this really the way that we want things to be done? Is this okay that this is allowed to happen? Whatever the cause, the Hamas, I'm not saying any of it's right. I'm not taking the side of Gaza or Hamas at all. And I'm not anti-Israel. I didn't say they shouldn't defend themselves. I didn't blame them for anything. I'm just saying, how is this okay? If there's not a better way to deal with this. Now you have, and look, hungry people, that creates its own security threat. We should be concerned about that. We're hungry. Cubans take to the streets in the second largest city to protest. Hundreds of people in Santiago de Cuba, Cuba's second largest city, protested on the streets on Sunday, chanting electricity and food. What appeared to be the largest demonstration on the islands since the July 2021 uprising, which they viciously beat down. A live face stream on Facebook by an anonymous user at 3:38 p.m. on Sunday showed a large crowd protesting. military forces were at the presence of military forces at the scene. Crowds were chanting, "We're hungry." Cubans reported a cut in internet services. Videos started to appear on Sunday evening, also showing protests. They just cut the power in these places. And this is the roadmap for here. Things descend into whatever. And this is to start cutting the power, cutting the internet, and everything will naturally quiet down over time. But it's really spectacular what's going on. And this story here with Elon Musk is equally as spectacular. It really is. He posts this video that in today's terms would be considered radical. Talking about this immigration and border problem. And, you know, he's saying that, look, this is actually happening here, that there's this takeover of our country. And I was shocked that he actually put this out. And the pressure that this has to be creating, and the fact that the establishment continues to ignore it, that I find absolutely fascinating. I really do. The whole thing, that they sit there and ignore this with this kind of attention being brought to it, that the owner of Twitter is purposely going to, not purposely, directly going to do this. I don't know. So here's another law. Wait till he's getting sued, he's investigated by the Justice Department. This is what they do now. Speaking out, they're going to investigate them. Tax charges, whatever they got to do. This story here with Reddit and YouTube getting sued by families of the grocery store victims. And I just don't understand, you know, how can they argue that this somehow enabled, because it was stream lived, I'm guessing, or that it was posted out there and that they allowed that somehow they become complicit in that. This has been an issue for social media. It's an issue that's driven a lot of the protection that they've been able to get, because the legislators say, well, if we're gonna have these things available, we have to give them protection from this kind of thing. So they did, and that led to a whole different series of problems. Then you have the government coming in. I guess now the Supreme Court's going to allow it with this censorship going on. And the shame of it is people don't understand how far it's gone. It's not that the government's just saying, hey, we're not going to allow medical disinformation that goes contrary to the whatever. Use the censor people like me, flat out ban people with no due process to get unbanned, careers destroyed, lives destroyed, reputations destroyed, with nothing you can do about it. Pick up your pieces and go home. Go cry boo-hoo. Alex Jones, look at what they did to destroy him. Where does it end? Nowhere, apparently. Now YouTube and Reddit getting sucked into it. Maybe it'll be a good thing. I don't know. Fox News' Jesse Waters. Explanation for progressive extremism. When he interviewed people for his Man on the Street segments, Fox personality Jesse Waters typically only got to talk to them for 10 minutes at most. He's making the argument that progressive extremism has been allowed because we're not talking anymore, that we're not having conversations. And I had an interesting thing happen the other day. Guy calls me up. And he might be able to put it together, but I'm still not going to reveal any names. He's very unhappy with an interview that I did over at Project Chaos. Now, when I tell you that the reaction to Project Chaos has been positive, I mean completely 100% positive. It's been really amazing and very refreshing to be working in that space. I don't like that term, but working in that arena and that kind of positive vibe going on. It just feels really good. Well, anyway, a guy calls me up. And he's carrying on pretty good about an interview that I did. He had a little dispute with some of the things that were said. And I was very much prepared for this kind of thing to happen. I didn't know, you know, when and who and what interview it would be. But I just know that, you know, you get, you know, strong-willed men that have been involved in some things and they have some pretty hard feelings about it. And sometimes they need to let it be known. And anyway, a guy calls me, and here's the point. It took an hour. It took a full hour. And he said, I want to apologize. I didn't mean to say anything bad about that. We came to an understanding. And it was really phenomenal. I was really happy to do it for him. I didn't really have an hour of my time to dedicate to that. But, you know, fellow veteran, it felt good to do that. So I think that is a big part of it. There's no more conversations. Everything's sound bites and yelling and mob rule and I mean, it's why I still hold out hope for the podcast. You know, if you really step back and listen to what I say, you're not going to agree with everything, that's for sure. But at least it forms the basis for an honest conversation, does it not? Maybe I'm wrong. Am I fooling myself about that? You would tell me if I was. Anyway, I would say that Jesse Waters, at least a plausible story there, that's for sure. What do you think about this story here with RFK Jr. being excluded from the family photo and the way that he's being treated in general? You know, I feel like this guy's running a great campaign. It's very sad to me to see the lack of any kind of real debates or any, you talk about what Jesse Waters is saying. We're not even discussing the issues at all. I've been talking about this since the Super Bowl, at least. You know, it came up then. Look, Travis Kelce and what's her name? I think they broke up already. It was all a joke, man. It was all a big show. And now they're talking about all these expensive gifts and whatnot that they had. Like, yeah, it was stuff that those companies gave them for the marketing value of it. That because she had the ring or the bracelet or whatever, how many people went out and bought that thing? I don't know. Who knows what's going on? I really can't speak to it. But the point is, in the run-up to the Super Bowl, look at what was being discussed. His outfit, that she was going to be there, and him bumping into Andy. It nothing about football. If you love football and you enjoy football, is that really what you want to see? And if you don't enjoy football, you're going to tune in for that kind of nonsense? Well, it's the same way with this presidential election, as best I can tell. I guess Biden put out his budget, and they said, well, Trump doesn't even have a plan. No, Trump's not putting out the plan because he knows that whatever he puts out, they're going to just make trash it completely. Every single little thing. Oh, sure, he wants another $1 trillion for, you know, something at home. He wants to cut the Ukraine spend. God forbid we cut foreign spending. Where do you cut? Why don't we start there? Joe Biden posed for a photo with the entire Kennedy family outside the White House on Sunday in celebration of St. Patrick's Day, although one notable face was missing. RFK Jr. is running as an independent candidate in 2024 presidential election, was the only member of the Kennedy clan not featured in the photo published by his young sister. Carrie Kennedy describes herself as a progressive Catholic and lifelong feminist. Great. Run. And works as the president of Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights. Interesting. It's not enough to wish the world better. You have to make the world better. I don't know. I'm not going to go through all this nonsense. But apparently he wasn't allowed to be there. Maybe he said he didn't want to go. I don't know. You want to make any assumptions. But it sounds like he wasn't invited. To me, it's a bit of a shame anyway. The shame for him with his family turning his back on him politically. We've seen this. How nasty it's gotten. This is the party of hate has no home here. How do they explain their hatred for RFK Jr.? I don't know. Explain that to me. Trudeau in Canada wants to make hate crime words a life sentence. So in other words, you know, you say something hate fueled and you're going to get charged. I think that's a foregone conclusion. They're doing that already. And if that's not enough, he wants to make it a life sentence. Can you imagine? Does that sound appropriate at all on any level? Does it sound like something that a fair and decent person would propose? Does it sound like a place that you'd want to live in? Maybe you get angry. Maybe you say something. Whoever says whatever. And this is what free speech is supposed to be about. That you have to worry that you're going to be charged at all, let alone that you're going to be in prison for the rest of your life for something that you said at 19 years old. It's not even remotely harsh, you wouldn't say. Wow. Burger King lawsuit, $15 million for allowing an open-air drug bazaar. Good. There should be absolute accountability here. I'm sure within the company, you're going to see some real problems. I'm sure they have an in-house inspection process that was turning their backs on the inspections, and they probably have a corporate real estate manager that's supposed to be checking on these things, and you know, why weren't things being done on the up and up? But maybe it was. Maybe there was actually a Burger King restaurant there as well that they made a burger or two out of. I don't know. Maybe they paid them to keep running burgers or DoorDash or whatever. But at the same time, they bought and sold the drugs out front. I don't know, but it's not good for the community, and it definitely shouldn't be allowed to go on. And somebody's got to be liable for that. Interesting that the government can't be sued for that, right? Why weren't the police cleaning this up that the local citizen has to file a lawsuit? This is the world we live in. Anthony Blinken says authoritarian regimes use tech to hurt democracy. I don't have all the information here to know what he's talking about. Well, we should go back to paper ballots. Let me make it plain and simple. I don't know why we want to keep allowing ourselves to be subjected to this heinous system. It used to be that all the paper ballots would be collected and counted in the same day. One day voting, one day count, and everything seemed to be pretty neat and clean. You had a complete paper trail. You preserved that, and you had that there for a while. And it all seemed to work for a really long time. People had a lot of faith in it. There was shenanigans that went on. There's been books that have been written about it, really, all over the place. It's amazing how elections are stolen, how often it's done, really. You wouldn't think, but it is. But our elections here, I think, were revered around the world as being some of the best. They had a high level of integrity. We did it fairly. It was truly a democratic process, not without its flaws, for sure, not without its failures. But for the most part, it really did work. And then they wanted to make changes. They wanted to make it digital. And it seemed, you know, like a great idea. It'd be more accurate, faster results, on-time results. But the reality is we're not getting any of that. These elections are being decided long after. The voting never ends. The mail-in voting has destroyed everything. Internet access to the computers to skew the votes. So you tell me how authoritarian regimes are hurting democracy. I think we're kind of seeing that happen right here, as best I can tell. How else? What? Through facial recognition and tracking people's movement and social scores that, you know, allow no forgiveness? They're never going to allow any. The whole system of forgiveness that we operated on is gone. Trudeau, you say the wrong thing, he wants to put you in prison for the rest of your life. Then there's this story about the Hertz CEO resigning because his gamble on EVs, electric vehicles, didn't pay off. So if he's resigning over that, how is it that all these politicians, political leaders, local, state, federal, that have invested all this money into electric vehicles, and somehow it's working out okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's working out great, they'll tell you. Oh, yeah, we love our EVs. You know why? Because their jobs depend on it. They either keep saying that or they're not going to have a job anymore. Canada incorporates social scores into banking. What does that even mean? So the Canadian banking system is set to be radicalized by open banking framework. Proponents are framing this as a way for banks to easily share information and access user data. Oh, great. The truth of the matter is it's an opportunity to merge social standings with banking to provide government complete control over our finances. The organization Open Banking Excellence, a World Bank partner that originated in the UK, claims that it will host all the bank's relevant needs in one place. How convenient. The organization, which has reached 40 countries, aims to create exceptional platforms and content that promotes knowledge sharing, new thinking, and partnerships in the industry. I don't know what this is all about. I didn't filter this through, obviously. But they're going to use social scores somehow in banking. There's such a better model for this, and this should be going the other way. Why are we being charged banking costs at all? And it's not just the banking costs that we pay on the banking end, which also hurts the poorest. I don't pay any banking fees, for example. Do you? You might. The poorest people are. ATM fees, bank fees, we don't pay any of that, but the poorest people do. And if that's not enough, every merchant is paying like 2% every time you swipe your credit card. Why is that being done like that? It's all being done digital. Why can't that be done by some government-owned entity that they actually do some good with it that would save us some money instead of destroying the country and costing us more money? Makes no sense. Democrat Tennessee State Senator calls for riots after Republican lawmakers pass a pro-police bill. Well, wouldn't that be like a bloodbath kind of scenario? Senator Charlene Oliver, was responding to the passing of legislation that prevents cities from restricting police officers from making certain types of traffic stops. She said, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. Dr. King said the riots are the language of the unheard. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you keep silencing us like this, what do you think our district's going to do? Interesting, I would say. Fascinating. Wouldn't you call that a bloodbath? She didn't say bloodbath. What did she say? We're going to fight. But that's not bloodbath. That's a lot different. What would Joe Scarborough, tell me how he would argue in her defense. Well, she didn't say bloodbath, so make it okay. All the more lunacy, as best I could tell. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.